You are the Holy One, the righteous one, and the loving, compassionate one. We come to you, the Savior, acknowledging that we have sinned, that we don't deserve access and relationship with you, but we desire it, and we receive it by faith through Jesus Christ. And then we'd like to live our lives as an act of gratitude to you. So would you just stir us up to praise you, even as we listen to testimonies and think of your word and the truths of it this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. In the parable of the talents, it says he called his servants to himself and he entrusted his possessions to them. He entrusted his possessions to them. I want you to watch is how that's worked out, and to hear some of the heart behind the process of having something entrusted and learning what it means to be faithful.
So my name is James Downing, and I'm serving as the pastor here at Jerome Prairie Bible Church. I'm the primary pastor teacher, and I've been here for the last 25 years. In fact, I've had on my heart this idea of sharing this ministry idea of involving people in ministry in specific ways with a cash donation, so to speak. And so what we wanted to do was to give people a chance to have the hands-on experience of what it's like to be entrusted with resources to invest for the kingdom. Because in truth, everything we have has been given to us to be invested in the kingdom as a resource from God. So this has been on my heart. I'd read a story of a church that had did this, and so I wanted to do that for many years. And I've just waited for the right time and for God's leading. And so it was really exciting to be able to share that with Jerome Prairie and to see what you stepped forward into when God gave you the chance, hearing the word, the chance to obey the word and to step out in faith and do something with what God gave you. What happened was when I finished the sermon is I then gave an extended invitation to say, if you would like to come forward and receive the opportunity to be a steward who would trust God to use them. That process resulted in many of you coming forward. And I know many of you are like, no way, I am not going to take a blind invitation and step forward with James by any means. And yet others of you really felt like there was a tug on your heart. And so, again, we ended up with over 40 people. In fact, my problem was is I had prepared for 20 adults and 5 youth and 5 children. So when we began distributing the money, we had, $1,800 to distribute. And so we quickly ran out of cash to hand out and encourage people to pair up with each other. And each person was then given the kingdom assignment invitation with the details of what they would be invited to do over the next 90 days. And one of the things we asked them to do is be accountable to give a report back to the elders, and then also to be open to sharing with you one of those projects that God did through them. And so that's part of what the report is today, is to hear what God's been doing in the lives of some of these stewards.
I'm the one that suggested it, strangely enough. I always thought it must have been temporary insanity. But, you know, It's like, why not? It's a challenge. That's fine. We didn't know what it was going to be, but
we didn't know what we were getting into. Ignorance is bliss.
My first impression was I wanted to get up there and do it. I was just like, I got to get up there and see what this is about. And as I jumped up, my wife jumped up right beside me. And then you handed us a $100 bill. And then I started thinking, oh my, what am I going to do with this?
To see the money that was placed in our hand.
Yeah, it was pretty important.
It made it, now you can go out and share the good news. And you can use the talent for His kingdom. You know, it was awesome to see the money, especially the money that was placed in our hands.
Christian and Seth were the ones that were given the money. And then when we got home, we had asked them what they felt about giving the money. And they were kind of taken back too. And then I asked them what they would want to do with the money, reminding them that it is for God and to show God's love to grow the kingdom, hopefully. And both kids wanted to do something to help kids. Christian's words were to help a child in need or that was on the street that didn't have what he had.
It drove me to prayer, a lot of prayer, just seeking in and wondering, what is it, Lord, that you want me to do with this? You know, and it was funny because in the beginning, we had all these grandiose ideas. We're going to do this and we're going to do that. And we had a couple of guys come alongside of us and we'll go, oh, this, we're going to do this. And then there was silence from the Lord for me personally. And so we put it aside for a little bit. And when I say I put it aside, it was just like, okay, God will answer you yes, no, or wait. This was one of the wait things. And we sat there and continued in prayer.
You can thank our own Marilyn Maxwell for that. She had visited her kin in Kentucky and came back just all excited about this outreach that her son, Mark, had started years ago, this water step thing. And she explained to us how it worked. And we just decided then that was something we wanted to get involved in.
We went online. She gave us the website for it, and we went online. It's a Christian-based organization, and when I went online and was looking it up and getting more information, when I finished looking, I came and told Dave that I think we found our project, because I just felt a real identification in my heart that this was the way we wanted to go.
Brenda and Kent said, there is this thing on our hearts that we used to see on the streets, and we're not sure where this person is at or, you know, what's going on anymore, but they talked about Joe's Place and said if we can find him, if they're still helping the youth, which is ages like from 12 to 19, she says maybe we can do that with our assignment, you know, help the need that's in the streets here, the youth that need really attention, they need the love of God. It's like, wow. So I said, okay. She said, it's called Joe's Place. She says, they pull a trailer and they go around feeding the kids and in the neighborhood and share the gospel, spread the word. And lo and behold, Pam says, you think there's a trailer that has a cross on it? And so we pulled in there and we got a hold of Joe's Place.
Oh, I was in front of a bottle recycling place. I was getting rid of all my cans and bottles and stuff, and one thing I realized that for a diabetic like me, I sure was getting rid of a lot of Pepsi cans. I repented, you know. What happened was the gentleman got out and he went to the back of his truck and got two little bags of bottles out. And I thought to myself, my goodness, that's not no more than 60 cents or so. And he went inside there and he come back and he just had a little container of milk. And I know that money that he had wasn't even enough to cover that. So it was just to augment what he had. And that's when the Lord said, John, there is a need. And I got up and walked over there. And that's when I spoke to the lady. I said, excuse me, God put it on my heart to give you this, and which is what I had on me right then at that point in time, was, you know, half of the sum. And the lady was so stunned. I mean, stunned, and her eyes opened up, and she started to cry. And she goes, you would not believe this. I don't even know this lady, and she just hugged me and was telling me, thank you. And that's when I told her, I says, God loves you. He will always take care of you. And that gentleman, her husband, he had the funniest look on his face. He got out of the truck and he come around the side and he told me, I want to thank you very much. And he put his hand out. I gave him a hug. He says, God's love, man. Jesus loves you guys. He'll take care of you. You just got to lean on him. Go to church. That's what I told him. But the cool thing about that was, whenever you do something that the Lord has put onto your heart, both of you go your way rejoicing. I'm serious. It's you do God's work, and it's, man, it's so rich.
They supply water purification systems to third world countries. And one of the ways, a small way, that they fund that is through this shoe collection drive. And we, Kathy and I, collected the shoes, got 85 pair. And they pay to have them shipped back to Kentucky. They sell the shoes to a wholesaler. The wholesaler takes them to a third world country and sells them to a merchant so that he has product to sell. And then the people in the village get shoes that they didn't have before at a reasonable price. And then pretty soon Water Step shows up and puts in a water purification system.
David and I had thought that we would take the money that was given to us by the church, and that we would, along with what was donated from our church family and the friends and neighbors, that we would take that $100 and we would buy some shoes like at Payless, so that, you know, to build up the stash. And so that was just our mindset, that that's the way we were going to close this out. And then one night in the middle of the night, when I couldn't sleep, and I was running all of these different thoughts through my head, and I know it was the Lord. He broke in very clearly and simply said, go to Salvation Army and Goodwill and buy shoes. So I told Dave about it the next day, and we got really excited, and that's what I did. I took our $100 and I went to Salvation Army and Goodwill, and I got 16 pairs of shoes for $58. And then I came out my regular Wednesday out here, and Sister Mary Margaret in the office says, oh, you need to go to the Gospel Rescue Mission thrift store. And I got 22 pairs of shoes for $27. So we have money left over that we will just give as a monetary donation to the Water Step program. We already have the labels. The shoes are all boxed up, and we're ready to send them off.
Me and Pam got involved. We've been involved for the last 3 weeks on Mondays to volunteer. And the interaction with these kids, it's like God, you know, the Lord knew our desire here in Grants Pass, mm-hmm. Oregon. Ken and Brenda felt led to bless them with the talents that was given from Jerome Ferry. And we did too. We were there sitting over the desk and discussing, and kind of getting tearful there, and knowing that the Lord was there with us. And it was awesome.
Yeah.
Because when we gave the money that you guys gave us to give to be used, mm-hmm. Joe just kind of, I call him Joe, but it's Darren Williams, put his head down, and he had tears in his eyes. And because the kids had been coming in asking for, you know, they had this and that, and he says, not right now. He says, but we'll get some more eventually, mm-hmm. backpacks, things like that, you know.
They're
anxious to get on the computer and get their GED, which he's working on getting all that set up for him. He's got the room, and he's working on getting the computers. Yeah. The money that we gave, really just kicked that in, you know. He turned around and went and got the things that he needed and multiplied it, you know, and it was so awesome, you know, to see the needs met with the money that Jerome Perry blessed us to give and use as a talent, you know.
Yeah, Holly had suggested Joe's Place because she had already talked to Smokey and Pam, and so she kind of got us hooked up with them. We talked to them about that also, and it just seemed like, from what they described, that just seemed like the place for us to go. And
no, I did not come forward on that Sunday. I had had a conversation with James, and we had talked about the program that he was putting together, and I was actually very excited about it because I was working on my own little project on the side. My daughter was going to be going to Africa again, and she had talked about some things that she'd be doing, and I wanted to participate with that, so I wanted to raise some money for that. So when I heard about the Kingdom assignment, I thought it was very timely that the project that I felt God was bringing me to was coming alongside a project that James was doing. So I thought that was pretty neat.
Hey, I'm Lonnie. I am the daughter of Dean Marcy Evans. I currently live in Portland, Oregon, and recently had the chance to go to Zimbabwe, Africa. The church that I'm a part of up here has a nonprofit called Hear the Cry, where we fight for justice for the poor, the orphan, and the widow, both locally and internationally. And one of the relationships that we've built over the years internationally is with an organization called Hands of Hope in Zimbabwe. And this is an organization where they just focus on the orphans. And so they have many different homes around Zimbabwe that have about 8 to 14 kids in each home. And so, yeah, we just spent a few weeks just hanging out with them. And we did things like teaching them Taekwondo and theater, but also having, you know, counseling sessions to help them work through their past, but also to give them hope for the future. And we also did things like skills assessment testing. So when a kid in one of those homes turns 18, they're no longer allowed to live in the home. And so we want to be able to set them up for success as much as possible. So we did things like personality tests and career testing and spiritual gifts. And we just wanted to get them thinking about their future and dreaming about what it is that they want to do. So that was a blast too, to just hear their dreams and to be able to speak over them affirmation and pointing out the things that they are good at. Another thing that I was involved in over there was baking. I have my own cake decorating business up here on the side, and I just wanted to teach them some basic skills. And so one of the things that we did, my mom helped put on a fundraiser.
At a point when I was feeling very discouraged, I received a phone call that one of the people from the Kingdom assignment decided that they wanted to put their money in with me and the situation that I was supporting. So that was a big boost in the arm. And then it proceeded to gain momentum, and I started to get friends to donate, like some of them had said they were going to. They actually started to do that. And I had another person come up from the Kingdom assignment. So we have represented well, I think, from our church.
My mom helped put on a fundraiser, raising over $1,100, which I know some of you were a part of. So thank you for that. But we were able to get all of the girls in one of the homes specifically, which was 10 girls, their own baking supplies. And so, yeah, we just had a blast spending all day in the kitchen cooking and baking and teaching them how to decorate cupcakes and just basic skills. And so, yeah, I just want to say thank you for your contribution because that was so fun. Being in the kitchen laughing and singing and joking around and just having a normal day with them, which was really cool.
I thought it was very heartwarming, and it was, I've had a lot of people tell me that they were really behind Lonnie and they're praying, and it was very, very encouraging. And I, you know, I, all those shoes that we bought, and some that were donated, everything was, I laundered everything that needed to be laundered. And as I was doing that and just cleaning those shoes and setting them out to dry and everything, it just made my spirit soar because I really was acutely aware that I was doing it for the Lord when I was doing that physical part of the project more than buying the shoes. It was, I really felt that I was doing it for the Lord.
The lesson that I've learned here is that there ain't no resting, there ain't no kicking back and putting your feet up on the desk. It's time to, you know, put your hands on the plow and don't look back. You got to keep going forward. And we're grateful to be here, and we're doing the Lord's work still. And we're grateful that you did this. You did this. Because I believe there's many people in this congregation, I feel in my heart, that they need something like this. I think, you know, we're all Christians, and we could be pew warmers, you know. We need to roll up our sleeves and reach the folks with the gospel, you know.
And this is the story behind what drove me. The whole thing was years ago. It's been almost 20 years ago now, James. Almost 20 years ago now. I was in the spot in my lifetime where I was rebuilding my life. I'd lost my career, had gone through a divorce, lost everything. So I was in a period of rebuilding. And I'd got to the point where I was out, just about out of money. And I had to make a decision. Well, I need gas money. I need to have enough to eat on. And I figured, well, if worse comes worse, I'll walk to wherever I need to go. And I was going through a program. But you need to finish the program to be able to access the resources they got for them to help you. And I was in the grocery line, and the lady behind me, to this day, I will never know who she is, James. She bought my groceries. I didn't ask for it, and she did it. And she told me back then, God's telling me to do this. And I accepted it. But with that money that I was going to use for groceries, I was able to keep gas in my car, meet my needs to finish that program. And when I finished the program, they helped me get the job that I held for 16 and a half years for my career. I was able to pay my bills, provide for my family. God's provision.
But all came out of one person's generosity.
Yes. God did the increase. Someone was obedient to what he told him to do, James. And I'm telling you, that's where I was coming from that. Because I understood that. And I understood how important that was. You know, the good stuff. That fierce joy. That's what I call it. When you have God's, his light in you. And you can't stop it, you guys. Once the God's light's in you and it's trying to shine through you, you have that burning inside you, it's got to come out. It's God's work. When you're about God's work, man, oh man, that is when you're living, truly, truly living. He says you'll give us eternal life. That's just a taste. This is the shadow of things to come.
So I hope you've enjoyed these reports. It stirs my heart to see people choose to be faithful and to allow God to stretch them into who they can become by believing him. And so I find it interesting that the master of the servants said when they were done that, well done, good slave, because you've been faithful in a very little thing. You are to be an authority over many cities. The idea that there is greater responsibility for us available if we step into what God's calling us to do. So while the project, so to speak, of kingdom assignment is technically wrapping up, some people are still completing it, some people are joining into it,
the idea that you've been given a resource to serve the Lord with is very much biblical truth. And so encourage these other stewards in what you were blessed by, and yet I'd encourage you as a steward to step forward and let God stretch you and use you in a way that perhaps you have not yet opened yourself up to. God bless.
Pretty awesome, huh? That was 5 out of the 45. You know, I wouldn't have a couple others in that earlier clip, but he entrusted his resources to them. That's the word. And when God gives you something, it says something to you. I want you to think about this. It says something about you. Did you ever realize that God trusts you? And as soon as I say that, some of you are like, he shouldn't. Well, he did. You know what I mean? Everything you have, he's the one who gave it to you. Your gifts, your talents, your strengths, your weaknesses, he gave that to you, and he trusts you. And so the question is, what am I doing with what God has trusted me with? And the challenge is to realize that, okay, I'm entrusted by God. Now, am I going to be trustworthy with what God's entrusted to me? You know, I am God's steward. And so what you do with what God has given you reveals you and develops you. You see, because it's what I do with my hands reveals what's in my heart, doesn't it? It's that management process of what God is doing in and through us. And so the joy was to be able to take that cash, and it was fun to give it away and to surprise many of you with that. And to see you recognize, and you heard that in some of these testimonies, to recognize the responsibility of stewardship. And that is real, friends. And so understanding that a steward's management, all right, it reveals the steward's values. You listen to different people, what was dear to them was drawn out by God to be served and to be given to. But it also develops the steward's abilities. As I talk to different people, it's been fun to hear people go, I can do this, or that was amazing, and what if we did something else? And it begins to expand your understanding of your capacity. And so, it also says in this passage that after a long time, the master came and he settled accounts with them. That's a sobering thought and an exciting thought. It just kind of depends on where your mind goes, isn't it, right? The idea that there's a payday coming is also the concept that there's a judgment day coming. So it depends on how you're looking at it, right? But he has something. Because you have a master, I have a master, and I'm accountable to him for everything he's entrusted to me. And so I'll be called to give an account for my management to the master. Not just this project, but every hour that he gave me, every child that he gave me, every relationship that he placed me into. Those are things I'm to be connecting with him about. And it's an interesting thought. He says, to give an account. Why were they giving an account? Because the master still owns it all. See, we forget. Well, God gave it to us. Well, it gave it to you to manage, not to just use for yourself. And so your management matters to God. I think that's sobering, but it's exciting to think of. Your management matters to God. And so God's approval of your management will result in reward. That there is going to be a response. And you heard those people talking. If you will talk to these who have served, they will tell you they got doubly blessed, that this was the best thing they could possibly do. But you know what? I'm here to tell you, that is not the reward. I want you servants to hear me. That is not the reward. The reward is in heaven. The reward's still coming. What you got here, when you do what God's told you to do, is blessing. It's just this really cool blessing. It's not the reward. The reward's still coming. Isn't that an amazing thing to think about? There's this double blessing that God has for us. And it says, when he looked at the servants who did the right job, he says, well done. And I want to say to so many of you who have poured your hearts into this project, and some of you did hours into project, well done, good and faithful servant. Interesting. God notices what? Character. And character shows up in performance. We don't earn God's favor. He gives us the favor. He entrusts things to us. But when he entrusts things, we can continue to show that we're growing into the character he's called us to have. So he says, well done. And Jerome Prairie, I am excited to see how you're serving. We have servants next door who are serving right now, sharing Christ's love with children. You know, and wherever it is, the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please him, because he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder. He's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. See, God doesn't want you to know just that he's there. Okay, he's there. It's what kind of God is he? He trusts us. The question is, do I trust him? Do I trust him to make it worth my while to serve him? Do I trust him to be faithful? Because that's who he is. And so he notices that character. And so it is faith that honors God. In fact, Hebrews 11:6 says what? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's not your works that are going to earn God's favor. It's your trust in God's work that earns his favor, that draws his pleasure. So what did it take for these people to invest? It took faith. Took faith. You see, faith motivates faithfulness. And of course, there was that steward in the story, didn't do so well. When he was called into account, what did it say? He says, I was afraid. Friends, fear will freeze faithfulness. Fear will freeze obedience. It'll stop you up. You won't love the person you're supposed to be loving. You won't share with the person you're supposed to be sharing. Well, what if I don't have enough? What if, what's the question? If God's not faithful, if I'm generous. And so people wrestle with that issue. What if I go do what God's doing, maybe it won't bless me back the way I want to get blessed. Friends, I'm here to tell you, you will see in this lifetime a blessing, but the reward is still coming, and it is so worth it. So don't let fear rob you of God's reward, because there was the other servant, and the master said to him in the parable, what? You wicked, lazy slave. Ouch. You see, but what did that master say? Why was he like? Why was that servant like that? He said, well, I knew you to be, and remember his description of the master? He saw the master poorly. And I got a thought out of this that kind of struck me, and it's this. How I see God will define how I serve God. You hear me there? How I see God will you can serve him in fear, you can serve him in guilt, you can serve him in joy. So listen, I'm still learning this stuff, but I want you learning this stuff. I want you taking this truth and practicing it, because when you go do something with it, instead of just listen to this, it changes you. And so stop telling yourself what you don't have. Stop telling yourself what you can't do, and do what you can do. See, some of you can't do what you used to be able to do. I know that feeling. I had somebody challenging me to a wrestling match today. A little scary thought. I think I can take them, but they were challenging me. You know? But I can't do what I used to be able to do. Don't let the limitation be the definition. Remember, limitations, we talked about this 90 days ago, remember that? I said limitations can give you directions. It doesn't stop you. And so I just want to encourage you, you know, when you do all you can do with all God gives you, it expands you and it expands the kingdom. See, everyone here that I have talked to, everyone has been blessed by what they've went through. Now, they'll all tell you there was a point. You know what I'm talking about? There was this testing point. Some of the stuff didn't go the way they wanted. It didn't feel good. But there's a joy that came after that, and they got stretched. But we may never hear the John story in this lifetime. You know, wasn't that a great story of John's? See, hey, this changed the next 20 years of his life because somebody bought him groceries at the... Friends, you can do that. There's stuff you can do with what God's given you. And I just want you to open up to that, because this is what motivates me. And I think it's what should always motivate us. Is God made an investment in you. Isn't that right? God demonstrated his love for us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. That's love. Amen? That investment in me is what compels me to serve him. It's a thrill to serve him. And it says that everyone who believes on him receives forgiveness. So I'm here to tell you, if you've never received the investment, God has a gift for you. It's called eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. And it will change you. And you may be worried about what it's going to take away from you. But if you talk to anybody around you that's walking with Jesus, you're going to find that what you will receive is far greater than what you're going to lose. But I'm not going to tell you you're not going to lose something, because Jesus calls us to make a sacrifice to follow him. So listen. Someday, you and I, and someday soon, you and I, are going to stand before our master and give an account for all of the truth that he entrusted to us, for all of the treasure that he entrusted to us, the time, the talent, yes, even the toys that he's enabled you to have. And as a steward, I want us to be able to show him that we trusted him in that moment, so that we will hear, "Well done." That is the joy, is to serve knowing that there's a privilege, if I'm trusting, to hear "well done." It's not so much the idea of what you do, you see, it's how you do what you do. It's the trust factor involved. Jesus said, if you give a glass of water in my name, there's a reward in that for you. What's the key part? How clean the water is? How well polished the glass is, how nicely you present it. No, he says, in my name. It's the motivation. It's the trust behind what you do that transforms everything you do. And it's that brings him glory. Because if we do this to pat ourselves on the back, the glory doesn't go to him. It's like, look at me. Yeah. We've highlighted some of these servants, and I'm going to ask some of them who weren't highlighted yet to share what God's been doing in some of the weeks ahead, if they're willing. And I know not everybody wants to do that. That's all right. They all gave report. That was what they were assigned to do. They gave an accounting to me and to the elders for what was done. But we want to give you that encouragement in the weeks ahead. But see, how I see God will determine how I serve God. And I want to challenge you. How do you see him? Is he a good God? Is he a faithful God? Is he worthy of serving with all that you have? And I have a little different assignment. I want some of you to think about. This looks very similar. It's not the same as the last kingdom assignment that I gave out. And I haven't told anybody about this one. But I'm going to set some of those up here in a minute. You're welcome to come pick them up. I'll just warn you, there's no cash in them. I know some of you have been waiting for the second chance. It don't work that way. But there is some guidance for another opportunity that we want to step into for the next 90 days and just see what God would do if we would do what he'd call us to do. Because what you do with the time and the talent and the treasure that God has given you grows you and grows the kingdom and glorifies God. So I just want to encourage you that way. And right now, I didn't warn them this. I didn't do so well with my stewardship of my management of time this week. But I want to invite anybody who was on a project, would you just come stand up front? If you were a part of the project team, would you guys just come real quick? Real quick. Just come to the front and stand up here. I'm just excited that these are the people who were a part of this process, and they have done something with what God gave them. And that's really what we're calling each of you to do, is to do something with what God gave you. And it was my desire to have get all these stories in one Sunday, and yeah, right. Not going to happen. But I do want to do something. I'm going to put them all on the spot. I want one word out of you. One word that when you finish this project or as you're doing this project, something that God thought. How did he encourage you or what did it do for you? And just, can you think of that real quick? Just a word to say it was, for me, honestly, my word is exposed. It exposed things to me as I took on this process that I didn't want to see. So I'm not going to give you the chance to explain your word. What you guys get to do is ask them, what did that mean? What was that about? So I want you interacting with them about that. So I'm just going to come along and see if you can give me a word. And this, well, you're just going to be quick. If you ain't got one, that's okay, because I didn't warn them. What's your word, Pam?
Love. Other people.
Inspired.
I was going with love.
Blessed.
Encouraged.
Blessing.
Continue. Life.
Joy.
Gratified.
Faithfulness.
Patience.
Help people who needs help.
Help, that was my word.
Yes, patience also.
Faithful to the Lord's calling.
Available.
Prayer.
Trust.
Thankful.
Servant.
Awesome.
Possibilities.
Opportunity.
Stretched.
Well done. But I want to give you this little assignment today. Will you take the time to talk to one of these people about that process? I think by letting them share stories with you, it'll be an encouragement to you and to them. And then I do want to do this. Because one of the things I want us to keep learning is just the grace opportunity to do what God may be inviting you to do. And I don't know what that is. That's one of the things that we started this whole thing with, is that we just opened up and say, God, we're not going to control this. We're going to, just like you don't control us. Isn't that nice? God gives you stuff and he doesn't say, okay, and you have to do this. No. He gives it to you and say, okay, you manage it for me. And so I have a few brochures here. That if you want to think about another assignment, there's a possibility of what God might do. And it won't be a, I'm not going to do the whole list thing. If you want to tell me that you're in it, that's great. This is between you and Jesus and the kingdom. And over the next few weeks, as we continue to share some of these stories, in the next few months, I hope we'll be able to add to that. If we invest ourselves in the kingdom now, the king will get the glory. And we get the joy. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being stewards. And we thank you for the honor of being called to be children in the kingdom, placed here by you. And we would pray this morning that you would take great joy in us and that we would take great joy in you. And you would stretch us, that Jerome Prairie would never, ever, ever be the same again. And you keep teaching us what it means to be stewards, that we grow in our generosity, in our spontaneity, in our faith and our faithfulness, and in our boldness to proclaim the gospel to our community. And Lord, we would ask a blessing over the gifts that have been invested in this community and around the world, that you might receive great glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.